From our tower to your radio, this is Immaculate Heart Radio, KWG Stockton. Blessed be Jesus Christ, true God and true man.
Live from Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. It is Tuesday, the 22nd of January. Yes, it is the 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade. We had the inauguration on Sunday and then all the celebration yesterday, and some of that will continue today. And whether you're a Republican or a Democrat or a liberal or a conservative or what you are, this is a tragic day. 40 years of Roe v. Wade, which means anybody who's 40 years old or younger has lived with the reality of abortion on demand being legal throughout their entire life. And a lot of people out there, they equate with what's legal with what's moral. And, you know, we are a nation of laws, and so many of our laws are based on a moral code, on the natural law, et cetera. And it's very easy for people to say, well, if the Congress, if the government, if the courts believe that this is a good thing, it must be a good thing, or believe it's at least okay, it must be okay. And that's, you know, that's how these things go on. I mean, this country, when it was founded, believed that, some people believed, at least, it wasn't against the law, that slavery was okay. It was legal in the colonies, and it was legal in the United States for, you know, 70 or 80 years of our early existence. And so those kinds of things, what's legal is what's moral, gets in people's minds, because we are so much a nation that follows the rule of law. So this is a day for everybody to stand up. Many, many ways to do that. Bishop Soto has declared this a day of reparation and penance for the scourge of abortion. Tonight, well, let's start at noon today, very shortly, at the cathedral. Actually, you get a little extra time, 12:10 p.m. at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament downtown, 12:10 p.m. today, Holy Mass with Bishop Soto and many priests from throughout the diocese concelebrating with Bishop Soto, 12:10 p.m. today. Well, the March for Life is coming up in Washington, D.C. on Friday, and it will be carried cover to cover here on Immaculate Heart Radio. And then on Saturday, the Walk for Life West Coast, the 9th annual Walk for Life West Coast, will be held in San Francisco. We will be broadcasting. I will be part of the broadcast team along with Ed Horodko, and I'm not sure who else is on the team, but it will be we'll all be teammates down there in San Francisco, rain or shine, beginning at 11:30 a.m. Pacific time here on Immaculate Heart Radio. We'll be on the air about an hour, and then the rally will start, and we'll carry all the speakers, all the great and dynamic speakers from the rally. And one of those who will be speaking, and a man who doesn't need a microphone, joins us today. Reverend Clenard Childress joins us from New Jersey today. Reverend, a pleasure and an honor to have you here on the Bishop's Hour.
Oh, thank you very much. And it's always great to be with you.
You're in New Jersey.
Yes, in New Jersey.
I thought you were in Atlanta. Did the 49ers chase you out?
Well, I am a Giant fan, so you can't say that.
Okay.
Yes, they did.
Very good. Have you moved to Jersey, or are you just there on business?
No, always lived in New Jersey. Didn't plan it that way, just evolved that way, and just as my work in the pro-life arena.
Very good.
One step led to the present frontline position. So we're grateful to be here and be a part of the struggle.
Tell us, do you just like coming to San Francisco? What is it about the Walk for Life West Coast?
Well, that is the most unique event, I think, in the country. Without question, even from its inception, it was just two sisters, you know, two great Catholic sisters saying, hey, we need a march here. Mm-hmm. We need to demonstrate here our, you know, love for the unborn and our grievance with America over this unjust law. And as you know, it started off with about 4,000 or 5,000 and Each year it's grown. I think it's up to 55 thousand now. And it's a very pure event. It's always kept its vision. This is to be a public demonstration for those who cannot speak for themselves. So it's something that I've always enjoyed. And the young people that come from all the different Catholic schools and have been such a witness and an encouragement to me and have always handled themselves in a proper fashion, even in that first couple of years, by, you know, their songs, their solidarity, and their commitment, their energy. It keeps an old guy going, so I'm able to, you know, kind of build strength from the march each year.
Very good. And, of course, the Reverend is talking about Eva Muntean and Dolores Meehan, who put their heads together and put this all together 9 years, or well, 8 years ago, because this is the ninth. And, boy, that first year or two, Board of Supervisors passed a resolution saying you're not welcome here, stay away. We don't want you pro-lifers or you whatever they called us, anti-choice. And suddenly, things have changed. Hotels are giving discount rates to walk for lifers. Restaurants are welcoming us with open. Maybe a bad economy does that to you.
That may have something to do with it. But I also think they saw the demeanor and the spirit of the people. And why not? You know, we're Americans. I think deep within their hearts, many people do believe with us, even though they may not demonstrate that. Mm-hmm. But I think now as science has unquestionably began to back our position, people are beginning to rethink their prior positions.
Yeah, I think that's really important. People have seen, they see people pushing baby strollers. They see people of every faith known to man walking. They see people of every race known to man walking hand in hand together. There's no ugliness. It's all about loving the unborn and caring for the unborn, a group that, in my estimation, is the one group that was left behind by the civil rights movement of the 50s and 60s and 70s.
Absolutely. It's a segment of our community that is still disenfranchised from the American dream, and we will continue the march. I think the new route is great, and I think it's sending the proper message to where it has to go, not only locally but nationally.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you, when last year, the first year it was at Civic Center Plaza, I thought, I really like this setting, surrounded by all these big, famous buildings full of important people, you know, and right there by the UN Plaza and where the UN began. All of that, it's exactly where it should be, and then the walk down Market Street.
Yes, exciting, and we're, you know, looking for. I really look forward to each year. Our message is beginning to resonate. Personally, I wish it could have been more in the voting, but you know, that's okay. Eventually, you know, truth crushed to earth shall rise again, and we are on the right path. I'm grateful for the movement very much. So.
Yeah, you know, the thing about balloting and November and stuff, we've never had a national plebiscite on abortion, you know, where it's a pure question, and that's the only question, you know, on the ballot, you know, and we've never had that. And if we did have that, I'm very confident what the result would be. And you hear people, you know, comparing politicians and saying, well, yeah, but this is I voted for him because of this, or I voted against this other guy because of that. And frequently, abortion isn't their number one issue, unfortunately.
Right.
And so it gets all diluted. But if they ever put it on the ballot, up or down, and of course, if Roe v. Wade is ever overturned, as we all hope and pray, that's when the real work begins, state by state.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I've often discussed, where is a true debate? Now, we saw the president and Romney debate. You know, we would love to have a three-time debate with the opposition on 2020 on national forum. Of course, that won't happen because the opponents of the unborn realize they would lose that debate, and undoubtedly America would wake up the more. It's become a business. It's become very lucrative. I say often if abortion was not lucrative, it would not be legal.
Mm-hmm.
And we as a people must make that debate where we will not have mainstream media to help us. We must do it in the public square, and I think eventually, unquestionably, we will persuade most Americans.
You've been in this movement a long time. Tell us how it's evolved, and I feel like we're reaching critical mass now. All the efforts of all these different groups, pro-life groups, state by state, city by city, the marches, the rise of Catholic radio, the evangelical radio was way ahead of us, but Catholic radio has come on as well. All these pro-life messages, Priests for Life, your efforts, are all, it seems to me, coming together now to the point where the education mission is really taking hold.
Absolutely. Great observation. Undoubtedly, certainly they, you know, mainstream media, once again, will not credit our efforts and also make that observation, but that is exactly what is happening. I think it's going to reach a crescendo soon. As a biblical student, I know after 40 years, there's a shift. And
it's hard to ignore that number 40, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I believe that there's going to be a significant shift in our favor even this very year or in the next one or two. No doubt. I think it's just going to really begin to get downhill for us because the evidence is overwhelming. The young people are being educated on this issue even far more and are taking the unborn side in this position. And, you know, pro-lifers are learning that we can't, you know, there's not going to be one group. No one group has a silver bullet. So we are learning to work more together on this. And it's just going to be an awesome thing. I think it's really, as stated, coming together this year is going to be a powerful year for the pro-life movement. And I think the Lord has heard the cries of those faithful people in front of the clinics, diehard soldiers. You know, we know that Nellie Brown went on to be with the Lord, and she didn't visualize it, but certainly that core group and, of course, the Catholic community has held that standard for so long, but I believe Protestant evangelicals are also now going to harmonize our voices together, and it'll be something that America really can't ignore any longer.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, Jesus prayed that we would all be one. And when Jesus asks for something, he tends to get it eventually. I wish he'd pray for my team in the Super Bowl. Then I'd know. But I think this may be the issue that really unites Christians.
What other issue can we, if we can't come together on issue, this issue, what can we come together on?
That's exactly
right. But I see it happening, and I'm encouraged by it. I see it happening. I see that people are making this a priority, and we thank God for the work of the investigative factions of the pro-life arena. The young lady, she's Liza Rose.
Lila Rose, yeah.
Yeah, and that, you know, has really caused the facilitator of much of this, Planned Parenthood, to be exposed for what it is. And that's really beginning to lay hold in the African-American community. And it is not like wildfire yet, but there's the embers are burning, and it is beginning to take hold, and we're going to really cause those who are not profiting from it when they begin to go into the voting booths and make decisions in their own lives and community-wise, they're going to really be able to scrutinize the infiltration of Planned Parenthood's agenda far more accurately and will resist. And I see that happening, once again, not at the speed I would like, but I want it done yesterday.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've all seen the live action Lila Rose's group, the undercover work they've done, and we've seen it on YouTube. We've seen it on their websites. I mean, where is 60 Minutes? Where are where's 2020? Where are all these great news magazine shows that have the time to actually investigate something and do more than a soundbite? Where are they with this? Because those videos, no matter where you are on this debate, are compelling,
undeniable, compelling. I'm you know, every now and then I decide to run for office just for that purpose, so people have to write about what I'm saying. And I'm going to, this administration here in New Jersey, the legislative body, is gross negligence when live action has just proven that there's human trafficking going on near Perth Amboy, New Jersey.
Yes.
I mean, how can you ignore that as a legislator? Why? Because of the funds and monies coming into your coffers from the Planned Parenthoods of America. But I'm going to make it an issue. I'm really going to get after the pastors in that area. Those are your daughters. are somebody else's, some mother's daughters, some father's daughters who are being victimized. And probably the most heinous crime outside of abortion is human trafficking.
Absolutely.
And how can you ignore this clear evidence of this right in your own backyard?
Yeah, and I mean, between the human trafficking and, statutory rape, whatever you want to call it, that Planned Parenthood turns the other cheek, turns away. I don't want to hear about that. Here's how you get an abortion.
Yes.
I don't want to know your boyfriend's name who's twice your age. I don't want to hear any about that. We want you to get an abortion.
And we want to, blood money really expose their agenda. And I thank God for Carol Everett coming out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been such an eye-opener to so many that have seen that. The agenda is 5 to 6 times before you're, 26 or 27 years of age. I mean, the woman's body is racked and damaged after that point. And that's the other thing that, once again, it is harmful to women. It is really, we have the information. That's why the Walk for Life San Francisco and anybody who's considering coming is just being in the number is a testimony because it's going to bring attention to the facts that we now have against this heinous act of abortion.
We're with Reverend Chenault Clenard Childress, who will be one of the featured speakers at the Walk for Life West Coast in San Francisco. The rally, all kinds of things going on during the morning at Civic Center Plaza in San Francisco, including the Silent No More group and Father Pavone's group. Priest for Life will be there with the Silent No More. Father Pavone can't make it this year because he's being honored at the March for Life the next day. It's Friday, but he's being honored on Saturday as well. In Washington, D.C., but his organization will be well represented, and Reverend Childress will be speaking as well. We're coming off the Martin Luther King Day. It always bugs me. In fact, I wrote in my newspaper column, people who insist on dropping that reverend from his title don't know what motivated the man.
And absolutely, that is so true.
You know, you read his letter from a Birmingham jail, and he mentions the Almighty about 100 times, and he mentions St. Thomas Aquinas and St. Augustine. He mentions
Absolutely.
Martin Luther. He mentions, he goes on and on and on and on. He mentions Jewish scholars. It's all religious, and it was, sent to other pastors, for heaven's sakes, white pastors. And the man was a religious man, and people will debate back and forth about where would he have been. I mean, abortion wasn't one of the big issues of the day, at least not an overt issue. Where would he have been? And, no matter where he would have been, the force of his intellect and the force of his Christianity would have brought him to our side.
There's no question about it. And the other side is finding out that argument just does not resonate when they attempt to use his name. And even though they often do try to equate this to the civil rights of women, but that is also another great observation, one that kind of irks me to no end, that one of the things the Lord had led me to do was to read his essays.
Mm-hmm.
Three sentences can't go by before he's making some reference to God.
Absolutely.
To the church, a faith. And I'm saying, and I also use this in juxtaposing our present leadership, I say, where is this God, you know, Christ-like mind that you want to say that you're representing King in the rights? And I say, you're so far away from the God he served. I say, it's like trying to take the children of Israel, Joshua trying to take the children of Israel into the promised land without the God of Moses.
Yes. Yes.
This is exactly what is going on presently with the African-American leadership, without question, that this is a glaring fault and really gross negligence on their part, and they have fallen away from the God of their fathers. And this is the reason why there's such disarray and such detrimentation. Abortion is decimating the African-American community.
It is.
Certainly would not happen if Martin Luther King's voice was, or he was still here. And by the way, on my website, there is a piece, an essay. It's not even an essay. I forgot who found it. They found an interview with Martin Luther King, and someone asked him about abortion.
Mm.
And he agreed it was a crime.
Wow.
Okay. Now, you think that would be on 2020, or
yeah,
that would be somewhere, Ebony Magazine, mm-hmm, even some mm-hmm of the black publications. No, we're the only ones that put that out from time to time. And he also admitted, he also counseled the person and told the person who was a male who liked other males that he had a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, so this is two clear instances in one, very obscure, though, because it wasn't the issues at the time, conversation or interview he did for a notable news agency at that time or magazine mm-hmm at that time. And I treasure it.
Yeah.
I treasure it. And I tell people, friends, politicians and loved ones, and I reference that to them or I email it to them. No, he was with us on these issues, and but yet our leadership has drawn us away. There are shepherds leading the sheep to the slaughter presently, and hopefully this will be a year that shifts also.
Yeah, you know, very well said. And if Dr. King were with us today, he would still only be 84 years old.
That's right.
It's remarkable. He certainly would have looked at the abortion rate being three times greater in the black community than it is in the general population, and would have that would have caused alarm bells to go off in his head as to what is going on here. Who is convincing the African-American population in this country that killing their babies is a good thing for them as a group? And, you know, in his letter to the Birmingham jail, from the Birmingham jail to these other pastors who were basically telling him, we're kind of on your side, but let's go a little bit slow here. The time isn't quite right. And he said, you know, things like civil rights and things like progress in human rights aren't inevitable, that they require good men working in concert with God. And that's what we have to do in this. We're not gonna win this pro-life thing without God.
No doubt about that. No doubt about that. And that's I read the letter from the Birmingham jail from time to time in dealing with some of the African American pastors
mm-hmm
that make me to know that there was one that's already gone ahead of me that had the same struggle and prevailed. And that same God that caused him to prevail will also help me prevail. And so we're not going to do this without God. God is on our side. And, you know, weeping may endure for a night. Joy cometh in the morning. It's been a long night, but I believe that's going to change now.
I'll keep that thought. Joy cometh in the morning. Reverend Childress, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. I look forward to hearing what you have to say this Saturday in San Francisco.
Great. Keep me in prayer. prayer, and I appreciate the program. God bless you.
God bless you, too. Thanks so much. That's the Reverend Clenard Childress, who will be in San Francisco, one of the featured speakers at the Walk for Life West Coast. Try to make plans to be there. There's no NFL games on. No excuses. If you can be there, that's great. And if you can't be there, try to listen here on Immaculate Heart Radio. Our broadcast will start at 11:30 a.m. I'm pleased and honored to be a part of the broadcast team that will be there. We'll have a lot of special guests for you, and you'll get the flavor of the rally coming right through the radio. And then at 12:30, the rally itself with some of the great speakers like Reverend Childress, and we'll have some of these speakers on during the week, too, to let you know. And, speaking of that, Paula Short emailed me last night. She's in charge of the St. Rose of Lima bus. They still have 3 seats open, so you can call Paula, 916-532-8813, 916-532-8813, if you're looking for a ride to the Walk for Life West Coast on a bus. And if you are a bus captain, let us know so that we can get the word out to people where there are still seats available on buses. We'll take a quick break here. We'll be back with more on this Tuesday, the 22nd of January, right after this. The Bishop's Hour is pleased to welcome the fine underwriting support of Myers Investment Group of Robert W. Baird & Company, specializing in managing investment portfolios for well-established individuals and businesses. You can give them a call. They're at 530-271-3000, 888-792-9244, or secondopinioncalifornia.com. Well, the Catholic Store is celebrating 15 years of serving the Catholic community. They have everything you need for baptisms, First Communion, confirmation, weddings, and anniversaries, a wide variety of books, rosaries, holy cards, and other gifts that will be treasured for years. You can visit the Catholic Store at 19th and Broadway or give them a call, 916-457-1970. And the Bishop's Hour thanks the Catholic Store for its fine underwriting support of our program. Well, for the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. The Mercy Foundation forges enduring connections between them, empowering the community to make a difference by giving. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. 100% of your contribution supports the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. Give them a call. They're at 916-851-2700 or supportmercyfoundation.org. Well, if you're looking for help with family or personal problems, help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married and couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate your faith. You can give her a call, 530-400-4757, or on the web at CatholicCounselingByChristine.com. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N, CatholicCounselingByChristine.com. Our saint of the day, Venerable Fulton Sheen, a college education, a TV show, and a passionate devotion to the call of the priesthood, all combined in one very witty man, proof that sainthood is not only challenging and holy, but fun. Peter Fulton John Sheen was born in El Paso, Illinois in 1895. As a young man, he turned down a sizable scholarship to pursue his true desire, the holy priesthood of the Catholic Church. At his ordination, he made a promise that he would spend 1 hour a day in Eucharistic adoration, a promise he kept faithfully for the rest of his life. In 1951, the newly appointed Bishop Sheen began a TV series titled Life is Worth Living. In 1952, he won an Emmy Award for Most Outstanding Television Personality. He was named an Archbishop in 1969. And 10 years later, on October 3rd of 1979, just months before his death, Archbishop Sheen was embraced by Pope John Paul II and told, "You have written and spoken well of the Lord Jesus. You are a loyal son of the Church." Our saint of the day, not a saint yet, but soon to be, Venerable Fulton Sheen.
This is Bishop Jaime Soto, and this is the Bishop Hour with Bob Dunning.
Speaking of Bishop Soto, you can, there's still time to join him at noon today at the cathedral, actually 12:10 p.m. So if you got something going until noon, you still got an extra 10 minutes. The special pro-life mass with Bishop Soto today, 12:10 p.m., right afternoon at the cathedral with a number of priests celebrating with him. Also tonight at St. Anthony's, 660 Florin Road right here in Sacramento, there will be a gathering of youth in observance of Roe v. Wade and also ways to learn how to make a difference in our schools and parishes. A lot of great speakers. Again, 6:30 to 8:30 tonight at St. Anthony's, 660 Florin Road in Sacramento. Well, Catholic Schools Week is just around the corner. It starts next week. Let's see, the 27th, so it's this weekend it starts, and then this Sunday, and runs through February 2nd. And we're pleased to have Sister Maria Rose from Presentation with us, along with Sister Hyacinth. Welcome to both of you.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you so much for having us.
Sister, you're the principal?
That's correct.
Yeah, my mom used to tell me, you know, you better shape up or you're going to be meeting with the principal.
That's
here
true.
I am.
You wouldn't want that, right?
Are you one of those principals?
Well, I definitely have my opportunities to meet with those students, but there's a lot of good things that happen in that office that I'm very happy about.
So, Sister Hyacinth, you're a Canadian.
Yes, I am. I grew up in Ottawa, Canada, mm-hmm. so Eastern Canada, and then entered the Sisters in Michigan.
Well, that's almost Canada.
Yeah, actually, yes. I mean,
is almost Canada.
We're in Ann Arbor, so we're right across from Detroit. But it was kind of funny because the first time I'd ever visited the U.S. was actually when I came to visit the Sisters in, about 2003. Yeah,
what were you doing at that time?
I was 3 years into a Bachelor of Arts in Political Science mm-hmm. because I'd wanted to be Prime Minister of Canada, and so it's kind
they
of...
They could use you.
Well, you know, not the way I was at the time, I would say. Because, and I've realized this since, I would say I need the vow of obedience, but I think also, you know, looking back and I was kind of like, well, I would like to get elected, so, you know, I wasn't necessarily thinking as much about being strong on issues then you know if we're looking at me now it would be a different story not that I have any desire to do that nor can I do that but I was down in Kingston, Ontario so mm-hmm. right actually kind of border with the US and it sounds crazy and I always think it sounds crazy when I tell it, but September 11th had to do with my vocation because I was studying international politics. And I was really very much immersed in that kind of political culture. And the result, the political result of everything, which was just this mudslinging of you should have known, you should have known, it's your fault, really made me question, is this what I want to do with my life?
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I had started... There were four students who lived at the Newman Center on campus at Queen's University, and I had moved in there. I was starting to go to daily mass. I was spending time just in the chapel with the Lord.
Dangerous stuff.
Yeah. You combine those two things, and it's like, well, I don't know what I want to do, and there's this little thing in my heart that I think, and here I am.
Wow, that's great. I always wanted to be the Prime Minister of Prince Edward Island because you didn't have too many people to worry about. You got all the potatoes you could eat, and it's the only province that doesn't have abortion. They do not perform abortions in Prince Edward Island.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So it may happen yet. I could denounce my citizenship. I could move up. No, I would never denounce my citizenship, but it's a beautiful spot. Beautiful spot. Well, good to have you with us.
Thank you.
And you teach history?
I do. I teach 6th, 7th, 8th grade history. So I kind of jokingly say I teach history from the beginning of time until World War I. And then that's between all 3 years. And then I teach 6th and 7th religion as well.
Do you say
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I've also, though, picked up y'all because our the four sisters who founded our community are from Tennessee. And so I've picked up some Southern things as well. But...
Oh, that's great. Well, Sister Maria Rose, welcome to you as well.
Thank you. It's
You're
great to be
Canadian.
Here.
You're not Canadian.
I am
You're
not.
Pennsylvanian.
I'm from Pennsylvania on the East Coast, correct.
Very good. Well, tell us about, you've got all kinds of things planned for Catholic Schools Week.
Great. Excellent. We do. Starting with Sunday, we're going to kick off Catholic Schools Week with our 10:30 a.m. Mass at Presentation Parish. So our students will be hosting that Mass.
That'll be Sunday?
That'll be Sunday on the 27th. And then right after that Mass, after that 10:30 Mass, we invite the wider community, our school families, our friends, anyone else who's out there listening today, to come over to the school after that Mass. So somewhere around 11:30 till 2 p.m. we'll be open, and there'll be we'll be featuring two important things. We have an art show that we do K through 8. Our students' work, you'll get to see their work, and we'll also have Sister Hyacinth, her junior high. They'll be hosting. They'll be showing their National History Day projects that they've been working on, and they're very proud of. And just to be able to walk through the classrooms, meet the teachers, meet the parents, the students, it'll be a great day.
Now you have pre-K through 8.
We do have we have preschool through 8th grade, so we're a full school.
Everybody have to have preschool these days, pretty much.
I think a lot of the Catholic schools are.
Yeah.
I think
it used
so.
To be very uncommon, and has become very common.
It's true. I think it is.
Now, do you draw from all over the area?
We actually do. From actually many zip codes. We're kind of going out pretty far, and some of our families have to do carpools to make it a little bit easier. But they're faithful, and we're happy to have them.
Talk about the religious curriculum.
Our religious curriculum, I think what's unique and special about it is that it's obviously it's rooted in doctrine, but it's lived through our liturgical life, through our prayer. And on top of the catechesis that we do, we also offer, if you're familiar with the catechesis of the Good Shepherd, a special program that I think right now only two Catholic schools in the diocese actually offer it.
Right.
And so our students can go down for an hour each week and receive these lessons through that Montessori method and have an opportunity for really growing deeper in prayer and contemplation, which is great to see even in the tiniest ones, the 3- and 4-year-olds in our preschool also do it. And it's amazing. It's great.
So what percent of your kids are Catholic?
Good question, Bob. Right now, I think actually is probably about 98%.
Oh, it's real high.
It's particularly high. But that being said, I think we've had a lot of, since January, it seems, starting of the new year, we've had a lot more inquiries and enrollments, 7, 8 new kids coming, and about 5 families are out here there looking and asking, and not all of them are Catholic, and we're definitely, we open our doors for anyone who's seeking the truth. So,
very good, very good. And a kid in a Catholic school who's not Catholic, the curriculum doesn't change at all.
Correct. And that's
not like, oh, well, we're going to teach religion now. You go over here.
Right. Yeah. In fact, that's always my procedure is I always like to meet with those parents before they enroll. And I have that interview, and I just make sure it's known that they understand that what we have to offer, we offer all of it to all of our students that are enrolled. And I have to make sure they're open to that and okay with that Mass each week and different things like that. And what's beautiful is all the parents through the years that we have been talking about, like they want that. That's actually what they want, which is interesting.
So what's the hardest part of your job?
Oh, boy, there's just not enough time. It's
time. Other than keeping sister in line here.
All right. I just wish I could multiply the time, because I see this business. It's one by one. It's meeting with the people. It's meeting with the students, with the teachers, with the parents, with the community and the parish. And that's a full-time job right there.
Mm-hmm.
So I love it, but it definitely, I wish I could multiply that time.
Yeah. We hear a lot about bullying in schools, and as hard as we try, I'm sure Catholic schools aren't immune to that either. But you gotta obviously work with the behavior, but you gotta care about the bully too.
That's true.
Is there a specific program for dealing with this, or how is it just case by case? It's got to be a tough part of your job, I would think.
It's true, and I think every school tries to deal with this situation, and they probably handle it in different ways. And I think what we have to offer is that our school is really rooted in the virtues. And when we talk about things like problems or discipline that come up, it's always a dialogue and understanding of like, this is you had the choice.
Mm-hmm.
You had a choice, and this is what you chose here, and this is what the effect was. What could you have chosen? You know, mm-hmm. We talk about like those virtues that they could have put in place, and really, it's so important to help these kids to learn about these relationship skills, because let me tell you, we're going to need them when they're adults to have those interpersonal skills that are positive,
yep.
And that can handle conflict in a positive way, and not be afraid of that. So I think definitely virtue is the key, the dialogue, to help those situations.
And parents have to be involved, I presume.
Absolutely. When you can meld together the school and the family and the parents together, that's where amazing success happens.
You know, we hear about, and we don't hear it so much here in Sacramento, but you can't open the newspaper without reading about Catholic schools in crisis. You know, I mean, the numbers are nowhere near what they were, say, in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. You guys seem to have broken the code here.
Bob, it's so exciting. I just thank God for this gift and for this opportunity. The year before the sisters arrived, when Father Leatherby invited us and the bishop invited us to the Diocese of Sacramento, the school was at 154 students, and now we're over 280 students.
Wow.
So, and that's just in 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So that news in itself, we're just very excited about, and we're just hoping that the word gets out and more people would want to come and join us and be a part of that presentation family.
I know the church doesn't believe in cloning, but maybe we should look into that.
Funny.
We need more sisters.
Well, you know, the good news with that, too, is just this year, about 20 young women entered our community in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and we are over 100 sisters strong right now. And I think that's good news that needs to get out as well, is that there's great signs of hope with religious communities that mm-hmm. are out there, and that we just have to support them and make that known.
Sister Hyacinth, how did you hear about this community?
About the sisters?
Yeah.
Well, actually from the priest, the chaplain at the Newman university
Center.
I was at. He had gone to the Continental Vocations Congress in Montreal, I guess it would have been 2002, and had come back. I wasn't unable to go because it was the middle of final exams. But he had come back and said, you know, I met these sisters. They're young sisters. They wear the habit. You know, you should really kind of check them out. And at that point, even prior to that, I kind of knew that I was probably going to have to go to the U.S. or somewhere else. They're really, in terms of active communities in Canada, there weren't very many that were that would have kind of been what I was looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really through him, I came down and visited in February of, I guess, 2003. I didn't think I was going to come back with application papers, and I did. I kind of converted from a 4-year degree to a 3-year degree and graduated in May and then entered in August.
Did you consider other groups?
You know, I had contacted a couple other communities. This was the only community I'd actually come down and visited. It was the first one, and I was kind of figuring that I wouldn't. I didn't think I'd be going back with application papers, but pretty much the Lord just hit me on the head with a 2x4 that this is where I didn't ask for papers. They were handed to me mm-hmm. by Mother Assumpta. After talking with her, she's like, well, here's the papers and fill them out, bring them back in. we'll send you a clothing list. I'm like, okay, all right, Lord, I get it. But yeah, it was quite a miracle that it all worked out.
And you remain a Canadian citizen?
At the moment, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when the U.S. plays Canada in Olympic hockey, who do you root for?
Canada.
Okay. All right. We got that. We got that clear.
Especially if it's hockey. Other things.
Well, in hockey, especially Canada has got a great chance.
Right.
I always love watching the Stanley Cup, and when they play, if a Canadian team is involved, mm-hmm. which it usually is, and they play. Which I can't remember which anthem they play first, but they play the U.S. anthem, mm-hmm. and then they play "O Canada," and
right.
I just find it just really inspiring.
It's great.
Sister Maria Rose, how did you come upon your vocation?
Boy, the shortened version.
We got vocations week going on. We got
it's definitely
week.
True. Do you know? I think a lot of it happened. Believe it or not, part of it was through my experience dating someone seriously mm-hmm. in high school and college. And I definitely thought the married life, I thought, you know, big Catholic family, that's what I wanted to do. And I wanted to be a Catholic school teacher even then. And somehow God always, you know, lets you think what you want for a little while. And
then
it makes it very clear that, you know, that's not your vocation. But I went to a retreat that's kind of like the Ponda Vida retreats mm-hmm. that we have out here, just centered on the Eucharist, you know, that whole weekend and the Sacrament of Penance. And I was 16, 17 years old at that first retreat. And just for me, it was amazing because it just took the scales from my eyes to see the true presence in the Eucharist.
Mm-hmm.
This is not mere bread.
Uh-huh,
this truly
uh-huh.
is my God, and He wants a relationship with me. And that all happened, and at the same time, just my heart for prayer opened up. I realized I started to begin to pray because I knew that I was praying to a person,
mm-hmm.
Not just an idea. And I knew that it was about a relationship. And more He filled my heart with that yearning and that desire to be set apart for Him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started noticing that I was mysteriously attracted to anyone in a religious habit. You know, this, you know, whenever I saw sisters, and I would just kind of plant myself awkwardly as a teenager just by them, just not knowing what to say exactly, mm-hmm. but just to be by their presence. And
I know my little ones. I have four little ones, and they're fascinated when they see the habit.
It's true. It's one of the first I think attractors mm-hmm. usually for young women, and there's a lot of mystery behind that,
yeah.
and then the mystery behind the life. And my question was like, can I come? Can I come and see? Can I come mm-hmm. and see? And so I did. I would go on retreat when I. Met with the Dominican Sisters of Mary and came on retreat with them. I walked down, you know, I was in the chapel, and I walked down the hallways, the monastic long hallways, and I just felt this was home.
Wow.
And so I just had a lot of peace with that, even though I knew that it meant big change in my life, and I had to share that change with all my loved ones at home.
Sure.
But He gave me that grace and that peace along that road. So I'm so grateful for this vocation.
I would think that mom and dad and brothers and sisters, their support is critical as you are discerning.
I definitely, that is a very important piece. Not all sisters have that. Not all mm-hmm. those in religious life have that great gift. And I was blessed with that gift. My parents, though it's very hard to,
sure.
to let their only daughter mm-hmm. and their youngest go to religious life, they were supportive. And I had seen about 4 years earlier my oldest brother enter the Franciscan Friars of the Renewal. He's a Franciscan priest,
mm-hmm.
and so I had support, obviously,
yeah.
in him. And I just had to explain it to my other brother, who's married. Like, what are you doing?
He's providing the grandkids, right?
Exactly. He's got a high pressure now.
Well, sisters, it's great to have you both here. Sister, quickly, before you go, run through the 27th again.
Great. So this Sunday on the 27th, we'll have a school mass. So at the parish at 10:30 is our school mass. And then just immediately following that mass, We'll have an open house at the school until 2 p.m. And I just want to also invite anyone to Friday on February 1st. We'll have another school mass at 8 a.m. And following that is a Eucharistic procession that goes outside, and it'll go around our school campus and then end back in the church. And there's a little hospitality afterwards at the school. So we invite that to the wider public as well.
Very good. On February 1st. And then do you celebrate Groundhog Day on the 2nd?
Well, that's Saturday, but I am from Pennsylvania, so Punxsutawney Phil.
You know all about it.
I sure do.
You're the expert.
Exactly.
That's great. Well, I appreciate you both being with us. Oh, and you're going to have a crab feed on the 2nd of March.
Oh, yes, March 2nd. Very important night. In fact, if you want to support the school or be a part of this, even if you can't attend the crab feed, we do have a super raffle that will be very enticing for anyone. Inside and outside the school.
Good. And I'm going to be out there as MC. And I've never interviewed a crab before. I've interviewed some crabby people before, but not crabs.
This could be interesting. We're blessed to have you, Bob. Thank you.
Oh, it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
Excellent.
Thanks so much, Sister Hyacinth, Sister Maria Rose. And
thank you.
We'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you. God bless. Well, even as we speak, there is a walk going on here in Sacramento on this 40th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, and it will all conclude at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament at 12:10 p.m. for Holy Mass right after lunch with Bishop Soto and a number of priests of the diocese celebrating. And Wynette Sills joins us from the walk. Wynette, good morning. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Good morning, Bob. Yes, it's a very quiet, solemn, reverent, prayerful procession following Bishop Soto and several priests. There's probably about maybe 110, maybe 120. I don't know. I'm just guessing the number of people. We didn't know how many to anticipate, but the turnout has been beautiful. We began at Immaculate Conception and then walked to Sacred Heart and then over to the Sacramento Life Center, where Marie Leatherby and her staff hosted us to, hospitality. And we've had prayers and reading. Gospel of Matthew was just shared at the Sacramento Life Center about, encouraging us to help others.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a beautiful experience. Just as a public witness, we have a few signs that from 40 Days for Life that, convey the message, pray to end abortion. And so there's a public response to that, both good and challenging, but it's a beautiful way to spend this 40th year of Roe v. Wade in public witness here in our Sacramento community.
Yeah, I really feel like this is sort of a pre-kickoff for 40 Days for Life. That number 40 keeps popping up for the 40th anniversary, 40 Days for Life. I just think we just talked with Reverend Clenard Childress, who's coming out to the Walk for Life to be one of the featured speakers. And he had the same thing to say. Just his feeling about this 40th year, we're going to something big is going to happen this year in the pro-life movement, very positively.
Yes. Today's Tuesday. On Thursday evening, we'll be gathering there at 1750 Wright Street in the evening, because the abortion business there will be, quote-unquote, celebrating choice that evening from 5 to 7 p.m. with their board of directors and their donors and political supporters and what have you. So if anyone missed out on today's event, Thursday evening from 5 to 7 p.m. there at 1750 Wright Street would be another opportunity. We're having a candlelit, actually flashlight lit, memorial service there with flowers and speakers and a chance to give remembrance to the lives lost there and the women's lives who have been impacted. That's Thursday evening. Then Friday I'll be leaving very early to take Stephanie and Kaya down to be a part of Pastor Walter Hoy's events in Oakland, and then of course the Walk for Life on Saturday. So there's a lot going on for life, and 40 Days for Life will start on Ash Wednesday, February 13th, with our opening mass the evening before at St. Philomene's Parish. with Bishop Soto on the 12th.
And the time for the, do we have a time set for the Mass yet?
We do, but I know I'm walking and I don't want to give you the wrong information. It's in the newsletter. I think it's a 5:30 rosary, 6 o'clock Mass.
But yeah, I believe that's right, and we'll double check that and get the information. I have the newsletter in front of me, so I will find it and get it to everybody.
Yes, so Thursday evening from 5 to 7 at 1750 Wright Street would be an invitation to your listening audience to join us there in prayer, remembering the 55 million babies that have been killed due to abortion and all the lives that have been impacted as a consequence of this choice. Very painful choice.
Yes, absolutely. Well, it is going to be a great year, and we look forward to seeing everybody at the cathedral at 12:10 p.m. and again tonight for all kinds of younger kids at St. Anthony's, 660 Florin Road, 6:30 to 8:30, a Choose Life program as well, how we can make a difference in our schools and parishes. Wynette, we're against the clock here. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for being a part of this, and thanks for all you do for life. This is going to be our year.
Thank you, Bob. God bless.
God bless.
Amen.
Yeah,
amen
to that. Yes, that's Wynette Sills on the 6 Mile pilgrimage with Bishop Soto, and a very good turnout there as well. Again, Mass at 12:10 p.m. today, just afternoon, 10 minutes afternoon, at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. And certainly there will be daily Masses at your parish today as well, not in commemoration, but in a reaction to, if you will, a reparation for the scourge of abortion in our country. That's going to do it for us for this Tuesday, the 22nd of January. God bless everyone. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.